Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the regular guys, random thoughts, married at first sight, Boston recap. I say it every time I watch this show. It does something to make me hate it even more. Like, why do we need 5 minutes a show, 5 minutes commercials? 5 minutes a show, 5 minutes commercials. It's stupid. On top of all the crazy stuff that happened, but why do you like this crap? I don't get it.
Yeah, no, I will say they've definitely commercialized this a whole lot. And by commercialized it, I mean adding a shitload more commercials. They've definitely done that over the seasons. And you can see that it doesn't even look like they're matching some of these couples to be matched. They're matching them for the drama, because you can even tell in the previews, well, the drama, you know, so, and that's what they're trying to sell. So, and obviously they've sold it. And here we are. And by the way, let's just get this out of the way right now. Next week, we're not going to be here. So if you're looking for the recap next week, we've got a big week coming up. And then next week, I'm going to be out. I'm going to be in the land of untouched, untapped, and uncapped, and unavailable. So we'll be back in 2 weeks after this, just to let you know what was happening. We'll make sure we throw in what happened on next week's episode as well, in the episode in 2 weeks from now. So let's just get that out of the way. And then
I'm just happy I get a Wednesday night off.
You don't get it off. Like, you still got to watch it.
I don't have to watch it Wednesday night. I can watch it later. You know, I could watch it like Sunday night and then watch the next episode Wednesday and I'm all caught up. But Wednesday night, I don't have to like get done with work, go downstairs, turn the TV on, and be pissed off for 2 hours.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. You don't have to watch all those commercials and get pissed off. You can actually fast forward through the commercials.
Fast forward.
You may actually like the show better.
No, I won't.
For those of you new to the show, let's just give you a quick recap of to why Terrell is saying this and why he says he hates the show. But here we are recapping the show. Reason is, back in the day, he made a deal with the devil, said he'd never watch reality TV until they had a black bachelor. Pandemic hit. ABC says, hey, have you seen our guy, Matt James? So Terrell stuck watching the show. I watch it with him because that's the good friend I am. And in return, him being the good friend that he is, he agreed to watch one of my favorite shows, which is Married at First Sight. So he watched season 13. Halfway through that, he said, you know what? If Gil and Merle make it, I'll make this deal with the devil. We'll do season 14. Oh, voila. Here we are.
Bullshit.
Nah.
I need to, like, I'm a recruiter. I need to, like, find Gil. Not a lot of firefighters are like out on LinkedIn, but I need to find Gil and be like, hey, you owe me.
You know who owes, and I think they probably owe each other some honesty, Jasmine and Michael, as we get into these couples, man. Because, first of all, I think you owe everybody an apology here, Terrell, because I noticed as soon as Jasmine showed up on the screen, my nose automatically turned up the minute she started talking. So thanks, Terrell. It's all your fault for what you said on last week's
episode.
I put
that in everybody's head.
Yes.
She looked like her breath stink.
It was like, oh, why would I do that? Why'd I do that?
You know, I think they had a good conversation with the experts, but more so Jasmina's conversation with Dr. Pepper, that what we've all been saying, she's not into him.
Right.
And when she makes the comment that, you know, when he touches me, I don't feel anything.
We know.
That says a whole lot. It's like, you're not attracted to him, you're not into him. Uh-huh. And I think Michael, bless his heart, like, he's trying.
Yeah.
But she needs to tell him. And then at the end, when they were, after they'd done playing volleyball and the experts came back out, she even said it again in front of him. Could you imagine, like, your partner is just like, yeah, when he touches me, I don't feel anything. I was like, ouch.
Well, what makes that even worse is the fact that Pastor Cal was lying to him prior to, when he's like, well, see, you see how you start to have feelings. And if you hadn't stopped her, she'd be having feelings. No, Pastor Cal, it wasn't going to happen. What did she say? My vagina won't get wet for you.
Well, I do like something that Pastor Troy said. What he told Michael is that you need to initiate the intimacy, initiate the touch. And what I like about that is, if Michael were to constantly initiate and she didn't respond,
yeah,
that's your answer, that she's not feeling you. So stop wasting your time.
Right.
Right. I mean, if you're dating somebody and you go on 3 or 4 dates, y'all haven't kissed yet. You haven't done anything. She's not feeling you. You're right. Friend zone, which is where we all said he's going to be last time. Yeah. Yeah. She's not going to follow him on social, but he's going to like every one of her posts.
You know, I saw when this couple sat down with the experts separately, Lindsay Lohan and Mark the Shark, people were like, oh, the human side of Lindsay. But to what I saw was, it's apparent to me that both Mark and Lindsay need therapy and counseling. Not even marriage counseling. They just need counseling, period.
100% agree that both of them need to get some therapy to really work through their issues. I thought it was great when Pastor Troy asked, I'm going to do it all the time.
I see.
But I thought it was great when,
Pastor Troy.
Toby.
It's Cal.
Yeah, it's Troy today. But I thought it was great that he asked Mark if you're scared that you're going to be like your dad, because I've always thought about, remember when the first episode, I was like, Mark has those crazy eyes. Like there's something in this dude. And it's almost like he's trying to suppress this demon that he thinks could be in him. And so that's why when Lindsay comes at him hot, he tends to like shut down because he's scared he's just going to blow up. And it kind of makes a little bit more sense of why he's this way. But then also with Dr. Pepper in conversation with Lindsay, Lindsay's past hurts from her parents and from her mother has affected her. And so when somebody starts to either bully her, and this is maybe this is what's motivated her to be so successful professionally, because you get in these environments where, okay, I'm not going to lose. I'm going to win. And as soon as someone's coming at you, you're going to try to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
But they both need to get some therapy. But I thought it was great conversations that they had with the experts.
And I will say this. You and I have called this from the very beginning with Lindsay, right? We may not have really focused a lot on the fact of her relationship with her mom or non-relationship with her mom. But that's a trigger, and that's part of the emotional trauma for her. But a lot of that responsibility, I still think, falls on her dad and her brother, who babied her through all of that. And they allowed her to get away with a lot more than they would have because her mom wasn't there. Or she didn't have a good relationship with her mom. And I think that's probably part of the key as well. And I think when she does her therapy and her counseling, she needs to drag their ass in there too, because they need to take some accountability for some of this shit.
Yep. Well, and here's what's interesting is it explains why Lindsay was bullied by her mom.
Mm-hmm.
So what does she do to Mark?
She becomes a bully.
Bullies Mark because Mark doesn't respond in the way that she wants.
Right.
She just goes for the jugular and says the mean shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I think she's just like her mom. So therapy for both of them is definitely a thing. Will they make a decision day? I don't know, but they definitely need to lay on a couch and talk to some people about their problems. At least Lindsay's company probably has an employee assistance program that can help her. Mark's unemployed, so he might have to ask Lindsay to spot him some therapy money.
But what Mark needs to first do is do the exact same thing that Jasmina has had to do and go, I feel nothing when you touch me.
Yeah, at the pool, I mean, not the pool, after they play volleyball and they're having this conversation when the experts come out. And, you know, actually before the experts come out, it was just Lindsay talking about their relationship and she's breaking down and crying. And I think everyone knows, especially if you're in a relationship, whether it's boyfriend, girlfriend, just dating or married, when your partner is being emotional, what's the first thing you should do?
Console them. Comfort them.
Yeah. Touch them. Put your hand on them. Give them a hug. Mark was like leaning way to the side. And she kept leaning closer. Yeah, she kept leaning closer. And he's just leaning, just about to slide out the chair and get off screen.
What are you doing?
He went straight Matrix. He was like, oh.
Why are you gripping me so hard? Why are you dropping your chair so hard on me?
Yeah. So I think that's a problem, but it's a sign that, and whatever Mark is dealing with or whatever's going on in his world, you just can't let your partner sit out there when they're being vulnerable in front of not only the cameras, but also in front of the other couples. Grab her hand, you know, rub her back, rub her shoulders. This could be okay, baby girl. To the right. Do something, but just don't sit there and just kind of lean and just sit there quietly. He's a beta male, but we've said that. He's weak because he's a beta male.
I will say, I do like when you know, Dr. Pepper said to Lindsay, though, like, look, don't forecast. Because I want to say we've all been probably guilty of this at some point or another, right? Because she's like, when I'm in, I'm all the way in. But when I'm out, it's over. It's done. And at some point or another, every last one of us has probably done that. Like, when it's this, it's done. You know, or if I go into this, if I get friend zone, that's it, it's done. Or if we say, oh, we're only kicking it, then cool. Then all of a sudden you catch feelings, it's too late. You know, we've all done some form of this at some way or another, right?
Yep. Yep.
I see you in the back of the class with your hand raised. Yes, Terrell, would you like to say
something? Oh, no, I was saying, like, guilty. I'm saying guilty. I've totally done it. Like, if this happens, I'm done. And rather than, like, be an adult and talk it out and, hey, this is what I'm feeling. When you did this, it made me feel, you know, and having those kind of whatever conversations, I didn't do that. I would just be like, oh, they did this? Out. Done.
Yeah.
And I would shut off all emotion. All the connection I had, all the feeling, I could just easily just chop that off. But luckily, I got some therapy and some counseling. So
he's an adult, ladies and gentlemen. He's an adult now.
Adulting. I'm all grown up.
Well, somebody who needs to grow up is your girl, who you claim has pretty privilege. And I'd like to shout out to people who said, she don't have that much to be allowed to be considered having pretty privilege. Noy and Steve, because to me, Noy is just so immature that it's annoying. I mean, running the social media with cryptic messages is the worst. And the fact that she was like, well, that post wasn't really about you, means it was exactly and absolutely about him.
Mm-hmm. She's very immature, and I think that's her struggle. She's not comfortable being able to communicate what's bothering her and be able to talk. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that makes sense to me when you're 19 to 24.
Right.
But at what point do you grow the hell up and be able to have adult conversation? Don't get me wrong. When I was in my mid-20s, did I have good conversations with people? No. But you just chose to go on the show to get married to a stranger, and you're having to actually do something that's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Have some conversations. Even though it's uncomfortable for you, have the conversation. Maybe read a book, Difficult Conversations. Whatever you need to do, do it. But it's just ridiculous how she conducts herself. And then her whole body language.
Yes.
When Steve was talking to her, she's just rolling her eyes.
Annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. She was giving Steve the, you're annoying me, look.
Yeah.
And I was just like, Steve is right. But yeah, Noy is very immature. She needs some work.
And you asked, when do you grow up out of that? When you stop talking about, well, I've got another personality, and their name is Noisy, and that's the one that lets me go out on the dance floor, and it allows me to just have some fun. Back out of here.
But that's what I mean by pretty privileged, because she's pretty, she's a fun party girl and all that, but guys don't want to be with that long term. We want to be able to be like, hey, this person can do this fun stuff, but then also we can have real talk like adults. And you're not going to go on social media and post our business. So no guy wants that.
And for her to go, well, I hear you. I respect Pastor Cal's perspective, and you have your perspective, but I have mine, and it's my social media, and I'm going to do what I want on it. Okay.
Yeah.
So you are really indeed five. Okay. Just check.
Yeah. Yep. And she's indeed definitely not going to say yes on decision day.
But, yes.
But let's not let Steve get a pass here.
Oh, yeah.
Because Steve had the opportunity to talk about finances, mm-hmm. and we've been talking about it back and forth. We've had people commenting, you don't know how much money Steve has and all that. Mm-hmm. Today proved to me Steve has no plan, and he doesn't have finances, because he could have easily showed, hey, look, I have 500 grand in the bank. Mm-hmm. I have this money market account, have an IRA here. I'm technically good. Even if we had a baby by this time next year, great, we're good. He didn't have anything about that. And then,
but
what kind of fool encourages the only one in the house working, you know, you should quit your job and just take some time for yourself and you can see what it's like? What idiot does that?
The idiot that does not and is not afraid of his finances that he has stashed away. And I say this for the simple fact, if you had $500,000 in the bank and Noy is your wife, right, that you just met 4 to 5 weeks ago, and she's acting the way she is now and taking all that shit to social media, at what point do you tell her what you have stacked up, or do you wait till the decision day when she says no and goes, good, because me and my $500,000 say no too?
No, because the bulk of their arguments and their situation, because reality is they are a good match for each other.
Yeah, they are.
But the bulk of their issues is that Steve has not communicated a financial plan, yeah, and that's all Noe's been asking. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to hold out on that until decision day, and they're like,
well, she's been
all
hinting.
Right, just FYI, no, I'm rich. I didn't tell you this, but
yeah,
this is why I don't work, because I'm a multimillionaire, made some great investments. I won the lotto.
Yeah.
Whatever. So, but I also agree with her when she said, okay, when it came to the chore, then divvying up of responsibilities,
mm-hmm,
she's like, well, whoever has the most energy and whoever has the most time should do the most work. And I'm just like, you go, girl. I agree with you on that. Because you ain't working.
Yeah.
You at the house chilling with sushi.
She at the house too. But here's the problem. She wanted him to do everything, like literally everything. Here's the thing. I'm so sick of hearing about the job. First of all, usually when it comes on, I start tuning out because I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of hearing about, oh, we were so poor growing up, and my family, we just worked so hard. How hard did you work? Because you don't even want to clean the bathroom. So I'm having a hard time believing that even you are this hard worker that you claim to be, because you don't want to clean up after your own dog. You don't want to feed your own dog a treat. You don't want to cook. You know, when you're supposed to be cooking in the kitchen, you don't even want to look after the noodles because you're not eating those. So you're not going to. She's just selfish as shit. That's all there is to it. And she wants to be waited on hand and foot. And sorry, she ain't got that much pretty privilege.
I call bullshit, sir, because if I'm married and you're capable of working, it's not that we agree that you stay home and don't work. You're capable of working, but you just choose not to because you're just trying to figure out where you want to go. Yeah, I'm not picking up dog poop. I'm not giving out treats. I'm not cooking and cleaning.
It's your goddamn dog. You are.
Do something.
It's right? Your dog.
And that's where Noe's at. She's like, do something. Because if you grew up poor and you grew up in especially like an immigrant type family, everybody works hard. It's hard for you to understand people who like, yeah, I took some time off. Even myself, it's hard for me to connect with people. Like, mm-hmm, yeah, I took a few years off just to travel. And I'm like, awesome that you have the finances to be able to do that. But I just can't relate to that because that's not who I am, right? So Noe is right in that instance. But to me, Steve is lazy and doesn't want to work.
And he may be lazy. But you know what? It's her damn dog, okay? And so that makes her doubly lazy because—
No, they're married. First of all, it's their dog.
I'll tell you what. That their dog wouldn't be sleeping in our bed, I know that much, that quickly. Our dog would have its own doghouse outside because there's no, oh, well, the dog has to sleep in the, don't get me on this tangent. Let's roll on to Katina and Olajuwon, or as I like to call them, after watching last week and this week, Olajuwon, because I just feel like he is, I'm a good person.
Well, what I liked about when he met with Dr. Pepper,
mm-hmm,
that fake Olajuwon that we always talk about came
out.
Yes, and then soon as she called him, it's like that half white in him where his nose turns red.
Yep.
And you just see in his face where he's just like, do you know who you're talking to? You know, like she just, you just tell he's pissed. But I love the fact Dr. Pepper called him out and let's talk about it.
Yeah.
But here's what I learned after tonight's episode. I think that they're both going to make it because Katina's good with this.
Mm,
and
yeah,
she's good with that energy that Olajuwon brings, good, bad, and different. She's just going to accept it. I couldn't be that way. And if it was my sister, I wouldn't want her to be with a guy like that. But I think she's just embracing it, just saying, oh, well, it is what it is.
And, well, hopefully I think that you're wrong and that she's just doing this for the TV because, you know, she's purposely made sure she's temper back a lot of her emotion while the cameras are there. Because even she said, take this off me before the real Katina comes out, right? And he has also said before that you don't see what he sees when those cameras are gone. But at the same time, this jackass, when Dr. Pepper calls him out, it's like, well, if she had the problem with that, she could have said that to me. And I take that as a...
He said, she said, and
yeah,
all this stuff. And I don't play those kind of games.
It's you said.
Yeah.
You said it because we all watched the episode when you said that shit to her. That's what turned everybody against you, Olajuwon, talking about, hey, but you're just portraying me this way. No, these are your words.
Yourself that way. Yeah, you came across like the asshole. And then after they got done playing volleyball and they know the experts were sitting there, Olajuwon's just talking trash, just, Dr. Pepper did nothing for me to this. She was trying to do all this. And if you're an expert, why are you getting involved? And he said, she said, and all that type of stuff. So then when they came out, first person Dr. Pepper talked to was Olajuwon. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting there with this Ike Turner look in his eye. Mm-hmm. Like, he was just waiting. He gave her that you eat the cake anime look. Like, he was just waiting, pissed. Mm-hmm. And what I caught out of that is when he was talking about how he feels about Gatina. It's like, you know, like, I love, you know, being married to my wife. It's like, well, I'm not in love with her. I don't love her. Like, why would you even say that?
Yeah.
He just says the, and then the look on Katina's face. But I just think that's just, he's going to be O. Mm-hmm. And I think Katina is just going to wind up accepting it and mm-hmm. dealing with it for whatever reason. So it is what it is.
Here's what it is. He feels like he's the prize, right? And that's the problem. He feels like he's the prize, and that's why he's always talking. He doesn't think he talks down to her, which he does. He doesn't feel, and I don't belittle her. She doesn't feel belittled. How do you know that? Because you haven't had that conversation to find that out, right? Obviously. But he talks down to her in that manner, and then he claims to take responsibility. But he never really does take responsibility for his actions, for his tone, for the way he's speaking to her, right? Matter of fact, we've seen some toxic black men on this show in the past. Olajuwon, or as I will call him as we move forward, Olajuwon, is probably the worst. And you won't know these people I'm going to talk about, but everyone watching will. But he's worse than Chris from season 12. And he's worse than Brandon from season 10 in DC and Chris in Atlanta. He is worse than both of those because this man is constantly belittling her and refuses to even acknowledge that these words are coming out of his mouth. He has a problem with women, period.
I'd agree. I think he does. Doesn't matter what race of the woman. I just think he just has this thing, and I think you called it, where he believes that he's king. Because he even said that if I work, you know, I want my wife to, like, he's so big on her cooking. When they were going shopping, and he's like, oh, you ought to try making ribs. What goes on the ribs? You know, are you sure you can make them? I want you to see if you can make me some ribs. Like, he's just deep into that. So no one's gonna change his opinion.
As far as his cooking, I don't know if you saw this this past week, but Paula Patton, remember her? She was married to Robin Thicke, the actress, Paula yep. Patton. She was on IG showing off her mom's secret fried chicken recipe. And why do I feel like that's Olajuwon's fried chicken? It's in the same space as Paula Patton's fried chicken recipe, and it's a handed down from his mom, because Paula Patton's mom looked like Olajuwon's mom. And all he talks about his cooking skills, I think, probably falls in the same space as Paula Patton, because everybody was like, I don't want none of that chicken.
Well, Olajuwon was trying to say that they have a family recipe.
Yes.
And my first thought was, if you bring shake and bake up into this into this equation,
and shake and bake and our helps.
Yeah. That's some problems. You know, if you bring up shake and bake. But, you know, I'm curious what that fried chicken recipe is. And not to say that white women can't make good fried chicken. I'm not saying that. But, you know, Paula Deen makes good fried chicken. She just likes the N-word. You know, but
just likes to make sure the Rogans are in the back helping cook the
yeah,
fried chicken.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she just likes, you know, calling people Rogans as she's making it.
And having them dress up as slaves, yes.
Yeah. But, yeah, he's just a mess on this whole cooking thing. I just don't get it. I don't get why that is such a big deal to him. I just don't understand him. But he's not going to change. He is who he is. And so if they get married, great.
Not get married. They're already married.
Oh, yeah. They stay married. I'm sorry. They stay married. Great.
Yeah, somebody wanted to make sure they pointed that out. Like, they're already married, Terrell.
Yeah, well, they stay married. Great. They say yes on decision day. I think it's a mistake on Katina's part. She could do better, but, you know, is what it is.
But we know she's not Dick Dizzy because they haven't done anything yet, at least that they've told us. But does that also excuse the fact that of her volleyball skills, though?
There's no excuse for those volleyball skills. She's too tall to not be that good at volleyball. And I'm not saying good. She fell into the net. Like, it was like watching children play volleyball. She fell into the net. And I'm like, girl, come on.
Okay, what part of Katina said, I'm athletic?
Well, in her intro, remember she was doing She brought her little rolly mat out in the field and did her little workout.
She did half-ass stretches that didn't stretch nothing.
She did Warrior One, Warrior Two. She did some yoga. She did the workout in Olajuwon's dungeon. I mean, in his workout room. You know, she worked out with him. So I'm like, to me, I felt that she has some type of athleticism. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. That was terrible.
I'm not going to have you height shaming Katina here because every tall man can't play basketball. So therefore, why should she know how to play volleyball?
Just on GP.
Oh, man. You know, again, like we said, we won't be here for next week's episode, but we will have something else in store for you as well, because episode 83 drops on Monday, our regular episode. We're going to actually drop both the audio and the video on Monday. So audio will be Monday morning. Video will be Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then on Wednesday, we'd usually have the Married at First Sight recap. I'm going to be in the untapped zone, so we'll be unable to do it. So we'll be back the following week. But we're going to drop the journal of our trip to go jump out of a perfectly good plane.
Think you'll love it. Can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I don't know when my wife is going to agree that I can jump out of a plane again, but, you know, at least I can say I've done it.
Just don't tell her.
Yeah, because that works out so well on reality TV.
But we all have secrets. Just don't tell her. Hey, me and Tara are going to the store. We'll be back.
Hey, baby, we have no secrets. You know that, right? Okay, don't listen to Tara. Hey, I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Tara.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Tara, and at RGRT Pod.
Definitely. Send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit that you see on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers, brother.